I'm really just trying to set the scene for the weekend, because I think that this time that we're in, it is a there's a context for it all. And what we're going into is to do with the context. You see, I think that many of us believe that we are in a significant time of transition. Now, when I say we, I think for some of us, very personally, this is a very significant time of transition for some of us. But I do believe it for us. But really what I'm talking about today is I'm talking about the body of Christ in the UK, right? That this is a significant time of transition and of change. And I think that we need just to see that just context that we're in, and then just see where we're going and if, what we're involved in over this weekend. I've just called this bit building towards a new season. Jesus was actually quite strong saying, I expect you as disciples and followers of me to discern the seasons, to know what's actually happening, to see it, you know. And so I think it is up beholden to us to say, what are the seasons that we're in and what seasons are we about? And I think we're in this time of transition and a time of change. There's a preacher from, he's still alive, my namesake, called Bob Mumford. That name will mean a lot to some of you here. Great American preacher, and he just carries the great name as well, of course. There are many things that he's had huge influence on our lives. One of the things he said was interesting, was he talked about in times of transition, and he used this text. He says, in times of transition, it is very important that we take treasure that is old and treasure that is new. He obviously says, if you just take old, you're not getting change. If all you do is just take the old and keep working with the old, you don't get new, you don't get change. But he also said this. He said, if everything that you're going into is new, there'll be something wrong. See? Because there is treasure which is old, which we want to take with us, and there is also treasure which is new. And we're in a season of change. And what I want to say briefly is, look the kind of recent church history, it's a bit worrying to me to think that we're old enough to have history and to start talking about, and people say it more and more to me, tell us about the history. I'm going, flip, this sounds like, you know, horrible histories or something, you know. And I'm not naive, none of us are naive enough to think that somehow or another God only began church history in the 1960s, okay? So we know, and you know, and I do, that we're really just kind of talking about a tiny bit here. And our church, our history, it begins with Abraham. That's where it begins, you know? And so we're in this tiny bit here. But nonetheless, for some of us, we've been involved in something for 40 to 50 years. And it's been a season or two in God. And I do believe that we're a time of a transition into a new season. And so what are they? Just for those of you who haven't been around long enough, our recent church history, I think we've had two essential movements up till now. Sociologists will say this. They'll say there's been two movements that have taken place. The first was called the charismatic movement. I am old enough to have been in the charismatic movement. Are there any other hands I might see? A few. Now, the truth is, you're all still in it, okay, because it hasn't stopped, all right? So there is a sense in which the charismatic movement was an event, and sociologists will talk about it in the 1960s and 70s, and it was a time of outpouring of the Holy Spirit. At that time, it was unprecedented in countless years. And it was dynamic, it was powerful, it was cutting right across every boundary. All denominations were getting kind of infected and affected. It was dynamic, it was powerful, and it was controversial as well. And for some of you, you won't even be able to picture this, but don't worry about it. But just in those days, it was actually dead religion that the Spirit was being poured into. Church attendance may have been higher, but believe me, the state of the church in the UK was pretty dead. And into that, God sovereignly, in the 1960s, in the 1970s, poured out his Spirit, and we all spoke in tongues. Hallelujah. And believe it or not, we are still speaking in tongues. And what was happening at that time was it was a release of the gifts of the Spirit. It was a release of a whole new understanding of where God is not a distant God that we worship from afar, but we can have intimacy with him. And one of the great facts that we live in today is there was a release of worship where people could find intimacy and relationship with God in worship. Another thing we discovered at that time as well was called was community. But we, in those days, the word was fellowship. We all kind of like discovered fellowship. We all called our churches fellowship and so on. And in fact, the Greek word is koinonia, or koinonia, depending whether you come from the north or south, I think, you know. And a countless number, you usually knew Christians because their home was called koinonia. And it's like everybody, unless you had a boat, and then you called that koinonia. But everything was all called koinonia. It just meant fellowships. That's what we discovered. That was called the charismatic movement. Do you know that flowed straight into, sociologists will say this, something else which is called the restoration movement. And the restoration movement, if you like, flowed out from the charismatic movement. And that was like about a restoring of the church. It was about, particularly, it was about ministries being rediscovered and reignited, if you like. In particular, what we call the fivefold ministries from Ephesians 4. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now, when we say the fivefold ministries were restored to the church, actually, if you think about it, three of those ministries were already there in the church. So effectively, it was a rediscovery of the apostolic and the prophetic. I want to kind of like come back to that, because that actually is our heritage and it is our history and treasure, the treasure that we take with us, you know, the pouring, outpouring of the Spirit, that's our treasure, you know. The discovery of apostolic and prophetic ministry, that's our treasure. We're taking with us treasure which is old, because we need it for the new. Amen. With it came a kingdom theology. Oh, I love this. This meant that the kingdom of heaven was not just a future inheritance, but was beginning to be for us a present possession. Isn't that wonderful? I like that. Yeah, I got that from a Bible dictionary. And not only that, the whole difference was that we decided and discovered and realized that we had a victorious eschatology. You could look a bit happier about that one, because that actually, victorious eschatology. Appreciate eschatology is a big word. If you don't understand it, don't worry, it's not the end of the world. The old ones are the best, Rick, aren't they? You know, think. But actually, I can't tell you how important it is, because pre this time, the church in the UK was living with remnant theology, was living with the declining nature of the church, an expectation that we were hanging on or something. And what the Spirit of God has done through the charismatic movement and the restoration movement is to restore us into having a victorious eschatology, that we believe the kingdom is coming and is going to keep coming, and that God is restoring his creation back to himself. And guess what? We're caught up in part of that. Now, that is our history. That is our story. Threaded through that was a revelation that's come to us and is still here for discipleship. That the heart of what God's calling us to do is to go and make disciples. Okay, so that's actually what I think is where we've come from. Well, how's the restoration movement? That's really from the 70s up until probably the early 2000s, whatever we call those these days. I think we're in this season now. I believe that we're in this season of moving into a new season. And in a few years' time, I think the sociologists are going to look back and they're going to call this, that we're just going into, a new movement. I don't know what they're going to call it. Wouldn't it be great if they called it the Great Awakening? Or wouldn't it be great if they called it something like the transformation of a nation? Something. I happen to think at the moment, I think it's going to be called something like the missional movement. And the reason for that is because I do believe that the change that's going on in the church today is moving the church. God is taking us off the foundation of a charismatic movement and a restoration movement into a missional movement. That is so important, to the point where I would say, and I think I can say these things confidently because I'm just going to, if a church today does not understand, adapt and embrace the fact that they need to be fully and wholly missional, they will stagnate and die. We are called to be a missionary people today. In post-Christendom, it's the only way the church can be, and it's what God's calling us to be. God is calling us into a new season in Him, which is about being a missional. By missional, I simply mean that we are called to live and serve for those beyond ourselves, and we are not just looking for personal renewal, although we definitely are. We're looking for personal and individual renewal. We're also looking for social renewal and ultimately cultural renewal. That means a complete change of a nation. And if we settle for anything less, folks, we're actually shortchanging what the gospel is here for. And so I think we're about to go into this new season and be part of something called a missional movement. Let me just give you two or three things, and then just where we're going into for this weekend. I've just called this, like, how do we build into that future? What I mean by that is, like, there is a future that we're now leaning into. And we, if you like, I want to go, come on, folks, this isn't just for a few keenies. This is for all of us. We're all on this journey. We're all in this time of change, and we're all moving forward into something. So I think these things will be the case for us. Firstly, I believe that we build around the life and the leading of the Spirit. That is treasure that is old, but is treasure that is new for us as well today. Okay? So that means simply this, that the life and the leading of the Spirit is what guides us, is how we shape ourselves. You see, today it's so easy to go to seminars and to do things that give us structures and strategies, that give us all these things. At the end of the day, God is the missional God, and He, by His Spirit, He wants us to build our lives around the life of the Spirit and still be led by the Spirit. So that it isn't like just a formula here and there, but it is. So it's so important for wherever we are, whatever our situation. We could be there in Buxton, of all places. Love the little saying that you have in Derby, which is avoid global warming, move to Buxton. You know, it's like you watch the temperature go down as you drive towards Buxton. It's true, isn't it? Yeah. And sometimes even the clouds clear, don't they? I gather. Just occasionally. There you are. You're kind of working away in Buxton or in Arbury in Cambridge or in Exmouth or wherever it is. But what we've got today, we've got lots of great things that we've learned. At the end of the day, each one of us is going to say, we're going to build around the life of the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit. What is God saying and doing to us? Amen? Amen. So in the old days, we used to talk about like wineskins, and I think that's just as true today. The wineskins are there for the wine, and we're looking still for the life of the wine of the Spirit, and we build our structures around it. Secondly, we build around the apostolic and prophetic ministries. I can't emphasize this enough, because pre-1960s, apostolic ministry didn't really exist. It certainly wasn't visible in the church in these days. In fact, apostolic ministry has been missing for quite a lot of generations back in church history. There is this saying, actually, that in kind of like early church days, they say that apostles somehow went into the mist of time and bishops came out. You know? And what God has been doing these days is restoring an apostolic ministry gift to the church. It's a gift of Christ. There is potential today to begin to devalue the apostolic gift again. And I can't say enough how strongly I believe this, that God has given the apostolic back to the church for the sake of the church, for the equipping and for the enlarging of the church. What the apostolic ministry does, if you can just imagine this, imagine a large kind of canvas, which is a large painting. Does anybody know Lowry, the painter Lowry? He's a guy who used to paint often like industrial scenes, but he'd have like loads and loads and loads of little tiny, often stick figures all over the place in this large landscape. And I kind of look at that, and you look at these little, you realize each time there's a little cluster of people here, there, and whatever, there's a little story going on in each setting, if you like. And I'm just thinking that is how I see how we fit, if you like, or our context in the apostolic. The apostolic is like the frame and the backdrop. it's like there you are in your kind of, should we say, small corner. There you are doing your thing there. There you are in your bit on the screen. But what the apostolic does is it says, take a step back and see the big story. See the big picture. The apostolic draws us into something which is enlarging and enhancing, if you like, of all that we're in. It ties together, it builds us into something. And, you know, today's churches can say, well, actually, I'm just happy doing my own little story. We're happy enough. And I'm saying, you cannot afford to just be doing your own small corner and your own thing. We've got to be caught up with the apostolic call. And the apostolic call isn't a person, it's a calling. It's like it's ministries that come through people. But there's a gift that God's given to the church, which are apostles. Then he's given the prophets. Let's never devalue the prophetic gift. Okay, folks, let's actually stir up the gift of prophecy, which is in us, because we want to still be being led by the voice of the Lord. Amen? Okay, I'm just going to do these very quickly. We build from the bottom up, from the not the top down. What do I mean by that? I simply mean that we as churches today, I think as we go into this new season, we're actually looking to deal from grassroots building upwards. Starting with ordinary people and local communities, we build upwards. One of the temptations these days, a lot of others do it, is to build from the top down. Let's create a place and a presentation that we invite people to come to. I want to encourage us. I really do want to encourage us. Let's build from the bottom up, not from the top down. The bottom up starts with real people in real situations, and we grow that way. It could be slower. It could be longer. But I just believe it will be more missional. See, what we don't want to do is to create places that just produce consumers. Because my next point is, we build to make disciples. We can't build any other way. All our shapes, all our structures have got to be to measure against. At the end of the day, we measure it and say, are we becoming better followers of Jesus? Are we providing pathways and avenues and encouragements and equipping and so on so that people, ordinary people, can become anointed followers of Jesus? We build to make disciples. And then the last thing is, we are actually building to change statistics. I could have just said, we're building to make a difference or be influential. I honestly believe that the fruit of the evidence, if you like, of the gospel at work is changed statistics. When street pastors started in Derby and they said, right, what, within 1 year of the starting of street pastors, the police came back and they said, violent street crime has dropped by 40% since street pastors died. Folks, we are here to change statistics because every statistic is a person. We're here to change the statistics about children in care these days. We are here to change statistics about how many are being human trafficked. We are here to change statistics about who is being crippled by debt. We are here to change statistics. And that, to me, is the evidence, ultimately, not just of a gospel that renews a person, but begins to renew a society and ultimately a culture. We are called into a wonderful, large, apostolic, fantastic sense of vision. But that is a missional call that God is calling us into. That's such a big shift that I think if we don't go with it, if we don't lean towards it, if we don't build into this missional direction, that I think we could just go stale and begin to lose it all. The life of the Spirit's at the heart of what we're doing. The kind of community, all those things that we've got, that's treasure which we want to bring forward with us. Now, just what are we doing over this weekend? Tomorrow we're going to be praying in a new leadership team for Synergy, for us as a whole group of people. And I wanted just to build on two prophecies that were given a year ago in this conference a year ago. The first one was Anthony Delaney, who preached on the Saturday night. And I don't know if you remember this, but I think there's two key prophecies given. The first one was this. He says, I see you like unrolling a scroll. He said, like, you know, I'm only a bit is getting revealed at a time. He says, but actually God is saying to you, you just got to trust him that he'll only reveal what you need as it starts to come. So you've got to trust him as you do that. But he said this to us. He said, you've been known as a movement for sowing. You will be known as a movement for reaping. So how are we going to know that? Different statistics. We're going to have more baptisms. We're going to be seeing more people getting saved. We're seeing more community. So that's actually a promise that I believe we want to take and say that's part of what the change is about. That's where we're going. That's the prophetic promise. The second one was from Deborah Green. And Deborah Green was starting to just speak to us all. And then she picked on Nestor and myself. And if those of you who are here will remember it. And she picked on us and she started to prophesy. And she said, I see you holding a baton. And that baton is getting hotter and hotter. And she said, it's getting hotter with mission and with transformation and with movement. Well, that sounded pretty good to me. Doesn't it sound good to you? You know, she said so. But what it meant for Nestor and myself is it's beginning to be time. There's a sense of something getting hotter is urgency and beginning. She then went on to say, she said, you're passing it on to a movement. Okay. So in what we're doing over this weekend is there is a transition taking place. A new team is going to be sort of established and confirmed. My leadership of that team, I'm handing over to Alid. I believe that's such an important point at this time because we are heading into becoming a missional movement. And so it's part of what God is doing, part of what he's about. So tomorrow evening, that's one of the things that we're going to be doing. And then from that, we're looking for this to be a new day. Dawn's starting to come. Light is starting to come in new ways. And I think faith is starting to rise. I was just at the beginning of this meeting, just beginning to say, wouldn't it? I just feel like I've got faith to pray that after this weekend, some of us here will be going looking back going like, I had a breakthrough that weekend. Something really broke through for me that weekend. For some of us, they're going to be like, I got released into a whole new area of ministry that I didn't even know, wouldn't expect that weekend. I believe some people will say, that weekend I got healed. I got physically healed that weekend. Who knows? Some might even say, I got saved that weekend, because you might still need that. I wonder if I could just pray for us, because we're ready to go to the bar. Lord, we do come before you. You say, Lord, you are the great architect. You're the great conductor. And Lord, we love what you do. Lord, you do it in power, you do it in might, and yet you do it graciously, you do it gently. Lord, I pray that at this season, this new season of change and transition that we're in, that Lord, you would take us by the hand. And Lord, we pray again, fresh outpourings of your Spirit, Lord. Fresh sense of awakening of your Spirit in our lives, in our churches. Lord, I pray that the foundations that have been laid of the treasures that we've already got, Lord, will be added to with new treasures. Lord, that we would see yet more, Lord, of what you've promised. And I pray, Lord, as we catch your heart, your great heart of mission, that, Lord, we walk with you into new seasons. And, Lord, I pray for great fruitfulness in the coming 20 years in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. There you go.